And that is the statement that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the implication is those who are not meek, they will not inherit the earth in Jesus' coming kingdom. I notice that Jesus says, blessed are the meek. He does not say, blessed are the weak. Some people think that to be meek means to be weak. Not so. And my favorite illustration on this is the horse. A horse is a big animal. A horse is a very powerful animal. I would not want to dare to try to ride a wild horse, because a wild horse is an uncontrolled horse. If I was going to go horseback riding, which I haven't done in years, I'm not sure I'm going to go horseback riding anytime soon, but if I was going to go horseback riding, I would want to ride a very meek horse. A very, very gentle horse. A horse whose strength is well under control. Jesus himself is another example of meekness. No one can say that Jesus was weak. Oh no, Jesus wasn't weak at all. He healed all manner of diseases. He cast out demons. He healed people with leprosy. He cured blind people. He raised the dead. Jesus wasn't weak, but he was meek. Let's consider this subject of meekness. The word meek is often used to mean humble, gentle, and considerate. To be meek is to be respectful. And I believe in the Bible, people are both meek towards God and meek in relation to other people. Now, in relation to God, when we're meek towards God, that means we're humble towards God. We're submissive. We're compliant. We're obedient. We understand that God is God. God is high. He's supreme. He's the maker. And we understand that we are low. We're the creature. He's the maker. We are the made. I believe meekness, when it relates to other people, means that we're gentle. We're considerate. We're respectful. We don't retaliate and seek revenge at every slight of injustice or insult. We let it go. Let me give you a few definitions of meekness. Supposedly, Aristotle defines meekness in this way, and it comes from Eliot's commentary for English readers. It's taken from BibleHub.com. He says, meekness is the character of one who has the passion of resentment under control and who is therefore tranquil and undisturbed. And then from Meyer's New Testament commentary at BibleHub.com, he says this, the meek are calm, meek sufferers, relying on God's help, who turn away from all bitterness or revenge. And then there's a rather lengthy description of meekness in Benson's commentary at BibleHub.com. And let me read this to you. Benson writes and says this, the meek are persons of a mild, gentle, long-suffering, and forgiving disposition, who are slow to anger and averse from wrath, not easily provoked, and if at any time at all provoked, soon pacified, who never resent any injury, nor return evil for evil, but make it their care to overcome evil with good, who by the sweetness, affability, courteousness, and kindness of their disposition, endeavor to reconcile such as may be offended, and to win them over to peace and love. Well, let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to Psalm 37, if you will. Psalm 37, page 556. We'll start here, and I just want to look at a few passages of Scripture tonight to help us to understand and appreciate this quality called meekness. Page 556, it is Psalm 37. Psalm 37. In the collection of Psalms, the righteous are contrasted with the wicked. The righteous love God. The righteous are humble. They seek God, they keep His commandments, and they fear His name. On the other hand, the wicked are people who have no use for God. They don't want to obey God, they don't want to seek God, they don't really care to have anything to do with God. So we have this contrast presented in the collection of Psalms. And that's what we have here in Psalm 37. Let me begin in verse 1. We want to work our way down to verse 11, where we have a statement about the meek. But let's begin in verse 1. So the psalm writer says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Now, why might someone be envious of the workers of iniquity? Because the wicked seem to prosper. Sometimes people who do evil seem to just be having a good time and a good life. And yet people who love God and serve God sometimes go through all manner of trials. So the psalm writer says, look, don't be fretting and all worked up and agitated and annoyed and in a mental stew because of those people who are doing evil. And don't be envious of people who do evil. Verse 2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." And that's because God will see to it that they have a demise. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." That's what a humble, righteous, meek person does. This is the person being described here that is humble and compliant before God. This is the person that is submissive to God. This is the person that wants God, that loves God, and fears God. So the word goes out in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." By the way, for the Jew, the land of Israel was considered a gift from God, a prized possession. And that gift of land was a gift that bespeaks God's goodness and God's generosity. So the word goes out, stay in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. Feed on all the provisions that exemplify God's goodness and God's faithfulness to His covenant people. Verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." In other words, God will honor your justice and your righteousness, and He will make your good work shine and radiate for His glory. Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." You know, that's sometimes hard to do, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act on your behalf, especially when things are not going well. But that's what a meek person does. That's what the righteous do. That's what those who trust in the Lord do. So rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings his wicked schemes to pass. Don't be looking at the evil, scheming, conniving people who are up to no good and seem to be prospering. They're going to be cut down soon like grass. They're going to wither like the flower of the field. You keep trusting the Lord. You keep rejoicing in Him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust Him. You'll be able to stay in the land and enjoy His faithfulness. You're not going to get anything better by forsaking the Lord and running with the wicked. In other words, stay and be faithful to the Lord. Verse 8 says, "Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." So the psalm writer basically says, stop getting all worked up about the prosperity of the wicked. You just stay the course and you be faithful to God. Verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, those who depend on the Lord, they shall what? Inherit the earth." That sounds exactly like Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Those who wait on the Lord, those who trust Him, those who depend upon Him, they shall inherit the earth. "Yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more." Verse 11, "But the meek," and now it's those who are meek before God, and those who are meek in their dealings with other people, the meek, the humble, the gentle, the respectful, "they shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." They will be able to delight themselves in the abundance of peace that God gives them because God is with them. God will watch over them and preserve them and protect them. So I believe Jesus, when he says in Matthew 5, 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he's harking back to Psalm 37. If you will, just notice verse 22. Look at verse 22. For those who are blessed by God, they shall inherit the earth. And those who are cursed by him shall be cut off. Notice verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And then, if you will, verse 34. Wait on the Lord. In other words, depend upon him, trust him, and keep his way. In other words, do his commands, do what he wants, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. So it pays to be meek before God and to be meek before others as well. If you will, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Here we read the words of a psalm writer who is meek. He wants to humbly live under God's authority. He wants God's law. He wants God's statutes in his life. He's seeking God's will. And he wants to do God's will with a passion. Although the word meek is not used in these opening verses, it is describing a humble, contrite, meek heart before God. Psalm 119, notice if you will, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk, who live, who conduct themselves in the law of the Lord. Oh, to be humble, to be meek, to be compliant, to live my life underneath the law of the Lord and to do so happily. Therein is blessing. Verse 2 says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek God with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. We get the sense that the psalm writer here really has a passion and a desire to humbly live under God's laws. If you will, let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, this is page 715. Page 715. This is the prophecy of the suffering servant referring to Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. The passage also makes reference to his resurrection as well. But I draw your attention to Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Because here describes the meekness of Jesus. Verse 7, Jesus was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's referring to the crucifixion of Jesus. Remember I said a minute ago, Jesus was not weak. He was powerful. He was the powerful Son of God, yet he was meek. And when he was led away to be crucified, he didn't fight. He didn't argue. He didn't resist. He didn't retaliate. He didn't call his accusers all manner of names. He didn't shoot his mouth off and degrade them. In fact, when he was tried before Pontius Pilate, even Pilate was amazed at how little Jesus had to say. Jesus went to the cross like a lamb going to the slaughter. He didn't put up a fight. In fact, so far from putting up a fight, Jesus looked out and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I surrender my life, because my life is being lived under your will. And it was the will of God the Father. It pleased God the Father to bruise his Son Jesus. So if Jesus, the all-powerful, almighty Son of God, lived a meek life, we should follow Jesus' example and be meek as well. Let's go to the New Testament now. Let's go, if you will, to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 11. 11 verse 29, Matthew chapter 11. So if you will, go to the Gospel of Matthew, the first Gospel in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, page 942. Okay, Matthew 11 verse 29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we might picture, say, a couple of oxen being hitched up to go plow the field, and they would get out this wooden beam that's curved so they could put it around the backs of two oxen so they could plow together. And so Jesus is using that illustration with which the people would have been familiar. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, come under my tutelage and my care and learn from me. So Jesus is the teacher and we are the student. And then he says, for, this is the reason why we should take this yoke. This is why we should be hitched up with Jesus and teamed up with Jesus and learn from him. He's the teacher, we're the student. This is why. For, or because, I am gentle. That's the same word used in Matthew 5, verse 5, that's translated meek. Here it's translated gentle. Jesus says, I'm gentle. He also says, I'm lowly. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest. You will find peace. You will find release for your soul. So Jesus does not berate us. He doesn't get angry at us. He doesn't scold us. He's not harsh and demanding and cruel and hard. Jesus is a good, easy, loving, compassionate teacher. And of course, the Jews, many of the Jews tried to carry the weight of keeping all 619 laws of the Jewish customs and traditions. They found the weight and the burden of the Old Testament law as interpreted and applied by the scribes and the Pharisees to be quite a burden. And Jesus says, you can leave that burden. Come to me. Team up with me. I'll teach you. And you'll find rest for your soul. So it's encouraging to know that our Savior, who has redeemed us with his shed blood, wants us to learn from him, and he is gentle and of lowly heart. Let's go to the next passage, if you will. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Here we have a quote from the Old Testament prophet, a quote from Zechariah 9, verse 9. It's known as the triumphal entry. Jesus now is riding into Jerusalem. Does Jesus come riding into Jerusalem on a war horse? No, he comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. What kind of king rides on a donkey? Kings and powerful people ride on horses. Big, powerful, impressive horses. But Jesus rides in Jerusalem on a donkey. Notice, if you will, Matthew 21, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly. That's our word. Your king is coming to you meek and lowly. He's coming to you as a gentle king, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus rode on a donkey that was new, that had never been ridden on before. Most of the kings of the earth were very pompous and proud people. People oftentimes let power and authority go to their head. They like to wield power and authority. They like to control other people. They like to tell other people what to do. And many kings and rulers and emperors have even killed other people to hang on to their power. Yet Jesus isn't like that. Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem sitting on a donkey. Doesn't look like a threat, does he? Doesn't look too powerful. He goes to the cross. He doesn't look too powerful there either, does he? He succumbs to all his oppressors. He is executed. He doesn't put up a fight. But where we see Jesus' power is when he's raised from the dead. And he ascends and sits at the right hand of God the Father. And Jesus will come in power and in glory at his second advent. So again, I just wanted you to note that Jesus himself is meek. He's lowly. He's humble. He's gentle. Let's go to Romans 12. We'll move right along here, keep things moving. Romans 12. And I draw your attention to this passage. It's page number 1109. 1109, Romans 12. Because I believe these verses describe meekness. This is what it means to be meek. This is Romans chapter 12. Let's just begin in verse 16. So we want to be meek before God. We want to be humble, compliant, submissive, and respectful to God. We also want to be meek towards other people. We want to be gentle and humble and respectful towards other people. So the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So when we're meek, we don't feel we have to retaliate and get even and take revenge and settle the score. As meek, humble Christians, we can endure a wrong or endure an injury, even as Jesus endured wrong and went to the cross and was crucified for you and for me. If you will, let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 3. We'll just cover maybe two more passages and then we'll wrap it up. Titus chapter 3. This is page number 1168. Titus chapter 3. One of the letters of the Apostle Paul. We'll just look at Titus and then one passage in 1 Peter and we'll wrap it up for our study of meekness. All right, Titus chapter 3, page 1168. Titus 3, verse 1. "Remind them to be subject to rulers." This is what Titus is supposed to remind Christians, all Christians, to do. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." So Christians are supposed to be meek under the political authorities and powers that rule the land or rule the country. Verse 2 says that we Christians are to speak evil of no one. In other words, we're not supposed to slander anyone. We're not supposed to speak evil of anyone. We're to be peaceable. In other words, to be easy to get along with, to promote peace. We are to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's our word for meekness there. The word humility is the same word used in Matthew 5, verse 5. Here it's translated humility. Showing all humility to all men. And here's the reason why we are to have this new kind of conduct towards other people. Not only to the rulers, but to all people. To speak evil of no one, to live peaceable lives, to be gentle, to show all humility. Verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice," that's ill will, "living in envy, hateful, and hating one another." Paul describes Christians' previous pagan conduct. And Paul says when you became a Christian, that becomes a thing of the past, and you're now being recreated in Christ Jesus, and you're being conformed to Christ's likeness. So all of these vices have to go, and they have to be replaced with virtues. Notice verse 4. What empowers us, what allows us or enables us to live this new kind of conduct that the Apostle Paul has described? Verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared," that's what has changed our lives. The love and the kindness of God has changed my life, and the love and kindness of God has changed your life. "When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us." That's what's changed my life and your life, the mercy of God. We have undergone the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom God has poured out on us abundantly through Jesus our Savior, having been justified by His grace. That's what's changed my life and your life, the grace of God. And so we're called to live humble lives before other people. Let's look at one final reference. It's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1187. 1187, 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll end with this passage for our study in meekness. And again, we see the meekness of Jesus here. It's a reference to Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. But we'll begin in verse 18. Here Peter is instructing servants on how to treat their masters for whom they work. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice verse 18. Servants, this is how servants ought to live a good Christian testimony, to live out their Christian faith. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, with all reverence, with all respect. Not only to the good and gentle masters, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Did Jesus suffer wrongfully when he was executed? He sure did. When Jesus was executed, if ever there was a miscarriage of justice, it was when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Even Pontius Pilate, who examined Jesus very carefully, said to the crowd, I have examined Jesus and I find no fault in him at all. And Pilate was determined to let Jesus go, but the crowd prevailed on Pilate, and Pilate succumbed to the wishes of the crowd. Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God, and this is what a meek person does. When we do good and we suffer for it and we take it patiently, this is meekness. Now notice verse 21. For to this you were called, that is, called to suffer when you do good. For to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile or falsehood or lies found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. Revile means to be criticized. When people say all kinds of nasty and bad things about you, Jesus didn't say all kinds of nasty and bad things back. When they criticized and abused Jesus verbally, Jesus didn't criticize and abuse his critics verbally. So when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not make threats, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's what Jesus did. He entrusted his life to God his Father. That's what a meek person does. That's what we do when we're meek. We humbly entrust our lives, our present, our future to the care of God. And according to verse 24, Jesus, he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. That's an example of love. Having died to sin so that we might live for righteousness, by Jesus' stripes, by his wounds on the cross, we have been healed. We have been healed spiritually. Praise God. So Jesus says in that beatitude, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who are respectful and considerate of God and those who are humble and considerate of others. They shall inherit the earth. You know, there's some sort of overcoming power in being meek. Sometimes we think that the people who are powerful and violent and go out and get what they want by force, they're the ones that are going to win, but they end up being a loser. We are the ones who win because God is on our side, or I suppose we should say rather we're on God's side, and he's going to bless us beyond measure, if not in this life, in the life to come. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and I believe that's true. When Jesus comes back at the second coming, those who will be here to enjoy his kingdom on earth under his rule will be all believers in Christ Jesus, the meek. We're going to inherit the land. And what better thing could we have than to inherit the earth, the land, as our future inheritance? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be meek and help us to understand that being meek doesn't mean we're weak. But Lord, as we're meek before you, Lord, we'll enjoy you. We'll be able to carry out your commands. We'll have joy and peace in our hearts. Lord, help us to be meek before others. Lord, help us not to have our cage rattled because someone insults us or performs some injustice or wrong against us. Lord, just help us to weather these injustices and these insults and just move on and pray for those who might do us wrong in some way. Lord, help us to be meek and considerate and respectful of all people, Lord. We ask this for Jesus' sake, that our life in Christ might truly shine before others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.